Are you ready for the Low Blows Network?
This weekend's Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl pits the undisputed GOAT Tom Brady against the only person alive who could potentially threaten that title in Patrick Mahomes. A potential GOAT tight end in Rob Gronkowski versus today's king, Travis Kelce. Tampa will be the first team to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium, while Kansas City will be looking to become the first team to win back-to-back Super Bowls since Tom Brady's Patriots in 2004. This is all the hallmarks of a passing the torch game, as Brady's new Buccaneers team, going in search of their second Super Bowl almost 20 years since their last one, faces an unstoppable-looking Chiefs side defending their crown, having dominated the regular season and never truly looking like they wouldn't make it back to defend their Lombardi Trophy along the way. Not counting their week 17 loss against the Chargers, where they started backups because they'd already locked up the one seed, the Chiefs come into this game 25-1 since November 2019 and look every bit as good as that record suggests. Fun fact, no matter how bad a season I'm having in gambling, I haven't lost money on the Super Bowl since I've begun betting on it. Last year, I called the Chiefs come from behind victory inspired by Damian Williams, who I picked for my MVP, and many claim should have rightfully won it. Picking Super Bowls is kind of my speciality, is what I'm trying to say here. And just a few weeks ago, before the playoffs began, I put a €5 bet on the Chiefs to beat the Bucks in the Super Bowl in a bet that could win me €75. So, with all that said, allow me to tell you why Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are going to be crowned Super Bowl winners this weekend. But why and how, I hear you ask? Here's the thing, the recent history of the Super Bowl and maybe your recent gambling history has been littered with the majority siding with the team who has the better win record, stats, and or looks better on the eye, then people losing money because of that. In reality, we have an abundance of recent evidence to say that this is not how the Super Bowl tends to work. More than any other sport, the Super Bowl seems to follow the narrative of a sports movie, with what happened before rarely playing into how people discuss it afterwards. Instead, what actually tends to transpire is that the team with the sexier narrative shows up, and it's only after the fact that hindsight becomes 20/20 when breaking it down from an X's and O's standpoint. Don't believe me? Well, let me list some team names for you. The Carolina Panthers, San Francisco 49ers, twice, the New England Patriots, several times, LA Rams, Atlanta Falcons, Seattle Seahawks. These are all teams who were perceived as the better team, who came in with a better regular season record, had a quarterback perceived as having a superior season, or an unstoppable defense. We picked these teams for footballing reasons, and all of those reasons disappeared on the day, while quarterbacks like an aging Peyton Manning, Nick Foles, Joe Flacco, Eli Manning, and Tom Brady on three of the above occasions walked away with a ring instead. Why this happens? We don't know, put simply. This is why we watch sport to begin with. Old school pundits may suggest it comes down to having stuff like the more clutch quarterback. But Tom Brady being on both sides of the coins there immediately rules that out. Maybe one day there'll be research that comes out that suggests, say, the extra week between the Super Bowl and other playoff games causes complacency or nerves to settle in for the favourites and lets coaches motivate underdogs. But for now, all we can truly say is that it does happen and it surprises and thrills us at the same time. So let's look at this game through that lens and ask, which team has the better sports movie story? And how would them winning look? The case for the Chiefs is easy to make. They are the defending champions. Since November 2019, like I said, they have lost just one single meaningful game of football out of 26. Mahomes has gone 44-9 in his career and lost only once in playoff history, in overtime, to Tom Brady when he didn't get a chance to shoot his shot because of the flip of a coin. The last time they played this Bucs team earlier in the season, Tyreek Hill put on a show you will remember if you either owned or played against him in fantasy football. He caught 13 out of 15 targets en route to 269 yards and a whopping 3 touchdowns, all in the first half. The Chiefs won that game 27-24. They've had the best record in football, got the Super Bowl monkey off legendary coaches Andy Reid's back, and they've shown they can match up well and win against almost any game plan because of an offense that's more inevitable than Thanos. To make matters worse for Brady, their defensive coordinator is Steve Spagnuolo, the architect of several successful Andy Brady game plans, who specializes ways to pressure Brady, which is known to be his kryptonite, as he goes from being the fifth best quarterback in the league by QBR this season without pressure to the 31st best quarterback under pressure. With the perspective from earlier, do you hear it now? The logic for the Chiefs is based purely on sound footballing reason. If this was the Champions League or the Six Nations, the Chiefs win every time. But it isn't. It's the Super Bowl. It's a sports movie that will be immortalized in America's game documentaries and stories people tell their grandchildren for generations. And when looked upon as that, not only do the Chiefs not win, it's not even close. This Buccaneers team weren't even the Buccaneers last season. This all came about because the QB GOAT Tom Brady wanted to try something new, and for one day during lockdown one, he took all of our minds off the global pandemic and Joe Exotic when he announced he'd be departing the New England Patriots, where he'd become the GOAT. Brady, like us, wanted to know who was responsible for that success. Was it him, or was it his legendary coach, Bill Belichick? Brady assembled a crackpot, all-or-nothing squad around him, such as luring his trusty tight end, Rob Gronkowski, out of retirement while Gronk was the WWE 24/7 champion. Talented but difficult cast-offs like Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette joined an already stellar unit, including Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, while Hall of Famers from Brady's past, such as Jason Pierre-Paul and Ndamukong Suh, shored up the defense. This was either going to be a formidable outfit or a very extravagant flop. And, like all sports movies, originally it looked like it would be a flop, as fellow legendary quarterback and divisional rival Drew Brees dominated their first game of the 2020 season. The Bucs struggled for consistency in those early days, and at times didn't even seem like a lock for the playoffs, much less the Super Bowl. That all changed from Thanksgiving on, when the team finally seemed to click. They've since rattled off 7 consecutive wins, many in spectacular fashion, with Brady and co looking unstoppable on offense alongside a defense that was already known to be one of the toughest in the league. Now Brady is back where he has spent 48% of his first weekends of February since 2000, Super Bowl Sunday, and he doesn't want to pass the torch yet. He wants to wrap up the GOAT conversation forever, with no take-backsies against the person who poses the biggest threat against him. He wants to add to his record of winning his 7th Super Bowl and make new history by becoming the first quarterback to celebrate the win in their home stadium. So tell me now, between those two stories, which episode of America's Game would you rather watch? But this is still a football game and needs to be won on the field, which means it needs to be possible for it to be won on the field. Every great sports movie features almost insurmountable odds, and that's very much the case here. But there is a chance. Because what's been the story of the Chiefs season? They look unbeatable, unless weird shit happens. At this stage, I bring up their 1-25-1 recent record, the Las Vegas Raiders. For no reason whatsoever, this team seems to have the Chiefs' number. Not only did they beat them, and beat them well for reasons we still don't understand, in the rematch a few weeks later, they nearly did it all over again. I'd also like to point your attention to the Cleveland Browns. Because as good as the Chiefs are, you could also argue that they're lucky to be here. In the divisional round of the playoffs, many felt the Browns had a right to be aggrieved when they lost a touchdown and red zone opportunity to arguably the worst rule of football, a fumble in the end zone being overturned for a touchback. And even with this slice of luck, were it not for backup quarterback Chad Henne holding his nerve in the gutsiest play call of Andy Reid's career to throw an unexpected, risky slant pass to Tyreek Hill to pick up 4th-and-1 and win the game, we may be looking at Brady versus Browns right now. Like I said, the Chiefs dominate until sometimes weird shit happens. How do you beat this Chiefs team? We've seen almost all game plans thrown at them, and there's no one clear-cut answer. Controlling the clock to keep Mahomes and co off the field for long stretches would seem to make sense on paper. It doesn't work against these Chiefs, who can rack up huge points quickly, as we saw against the Houston Texans in last year's playoffs, going from 24-0 down to leading 28-24 within the same quarter. The last time Brady played Mahomes in the playoffs, the Chiefs had the ball for just over 3 minutes in the fourth quarter. That sounds bad, but they scored 24 points in those 3 minutes. Teams need to lead from the front and have a defense capable of maintaining that lead against an offense who've made dramatic comebacks into a trademark. The good news for the Bucs is that the Chiefs are known for giving up an early lead, while the Bucs have scored the first touchdown in every single one of their playoff wins and then relied on their defense in the back end against stiff resistance against the likes of Aaron Rodgers and a pluckier than expected Washington football team. Their strategy will be to get out in front early, control the middle eight, which is the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half, an old Brady Belichick staple that he's exported to Tampa, and trust their defense to hold up. Mahomes has looked almost mortal when opposing tackles can get at him. This is also a big win for the Bucs as they have a deadly combo in Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett facing off against two backup tackles for the Chiefs. Mahomes won't have all the time in the world to work his magic and will need to pull off constant miracles quickly under pressure. This is also worrying for Kansas because Mahomes looked mortal and nervous in the first half of his first Super Bowl last year against the San Francisco 49ers. And on the other side of the ball then, when the Chiefs made their comeback, wasn't a Tom Brady who understands more than anyone else on the planet ever what it takes to win a Super Bowl. It was Brady's former Patriots backup, Jimmy Garoppolo. We can say with reasonable certainty that Tyreek Hill won't repeat his incredible stats again. First off, the Bucs will prepare for him better this time and likely double up on coverage. They're also going to see a better performance from cornerback Carlton Davis, who allowed Hill to catch 13 of his 15 targets in Week 12, simply because that stat would suggest that Davis is a bad quarterback, and he's just not. According to Pro Football Reference, he was one of just 10 players to hold opposing quarterbacks this season to under 50% completions when targeted, and he was the only one of those 10 players with over 100 targets. Keep all that in mind while keeping in mind that even with the same elements in play for Kansas City, who had a healthier line to protect Mahomes from JPP and Shaq Barrett too, they still only won that game by 3 points with Tyreek Hill pulling off miracles. The Hill-Davis matchup was a walkover. The actual scoreboard wasn't. I'm picking the Bucs to win on Sunday, 29-22, with their defense holding up in a nail-biting final-minute drive from Mahomes. Though I think it will be similar to last season, where a skill player like, this time, a Leonard Fournette, JPP, or Barrett, actually deserves the MVP based on performance, I think Brady winning his 7th Super Bowl is too irresistible for anyone else to get the MVP nod. Betting-wise, I'm going with Paddy Power, and my total outlay is €32. My bet builder has me pick a treble with Tampa to cover plus 3.5, under 56.5 points, and Leonard Fournette to score an anytime touchdown. €5 on that returns €39.73. Since I'm picking the Bucs to score first, I put €1 each on Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, and Cameron Brate to score the first touchdown. That €1 returns from €10 to €18. Both teams to score in all four quarters is also an attractive bet for me, given both teams will go into this knowing they can't afford to give up one successful drive, with the Chiefs' offense and the Bucs' defense. €5 on that returns €27.50. If I'm picking Mahomes to get a tough time being covered by a backup set of tackles, then picking Tampa to score the first interception at 6-5 also gets another €5 from me. I'm also putting €5 on there being a successful 2-point conversion, given Brady's urgency to score as many points when possible, and €5 on there being a missed point after attempt, given Chiefs kickers Harry Butker's struggles this season. Finally, my old Super Bowl favourite, €2 on there being a safety return €17. And if I'm completely wrong about all of this, then I still win €75 based off my pre-playoff bet of the Chiefs to beat the Bucs. So that's how you win money on the Super Bowl. Enjoy the game, folks. I can't wait.